is with Jesus in heaven. So hopefully that cranks your clock just a little bit. But when we talk about Jesus, we sometimes assume that everybody knows everything about Jesus. Sometimes we assume that. But guess what? Not everybody does. I remember in Chattanooga, a lot of people say that that's the belt buckle of the Bible Belt in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You know, the Bible Belt down there. There's a lot of ministries in Chattanooga, Tennessee, a lot of big churches. The church we were part of as part of the seminary where I got my master's degree was Highland Park Baptist Church. It was a mega church, 3,000 or 4,000 every Sunday morning. So, you know, you'd think that everybody would have heard about Jesus because we had a lot of visitation programs, a lot of people going door to door, a lot of people giving out gospel tracts. Honest to goodness, on one of my temporary jobs, I had some temporary jobs at different times while I was going to seminary. Then I started working as an engineer before I graduated, then after I graduated as well. But, you know, there was a guy that I went with. He was a Sears repair guy, okay? And so I was just kind of the brunt strength, okay? I was the strong guy, I guess, going to help him take like an air conditioner out of the window to repair or something like that. So I went out with him as kind of his helper, and I got to talking to him about Jesus. Now, we're talking about Chattanooga, Tennessee, the buckle of the Bible Belt. This guy did not know anything about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? There's people out there that don't know anything about Jesus. But if you're here today, you're going to hear about Jesus and who he was. You see, Jesus was the Son of God. And he decided, him and the Father and the Spirit together, I believe, made the decision that Jesus, you're going to go and be in the flesh on that old earth. You're going to be born of a virgin in Bethlehem. You're going to live a perfect life. And you're going to die upon a cross to pay the sin debt of the whole world. And then after 3 days, you're going to resurrect back to life. And that was the plan. And Jesus executed the plan, if you will. And he listened to the Father. He was very, very careful about doing the Father's will. And let me tell you, when Jesus died upon the cross, he was perfect. And he had to be perfect because the world needed the perfect once for all sacrifice. So when he died, he did not die if he had one sin in his life. When he died upon the cross, the nails were placed in his hands and in his feet. When he died that death, he would be paying for his sin. But there was zero sin. He was paying for my sin debt and your sin debt. And really the sin debt of the whole world. But to apply it to our account, we have to be saved. We have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have several things that we say that are almost synonymous. Being born again, being saved, becoming a Christian, trusting the Lord as your Savior. They all mean essentially the same thing. And I sometimes use them a little bit interchangeably. But let me tell you, if you're here today and you say, you know what? I'm not sure if I died today whether I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure if I died today whether I'd go to heaven or not. Let me tell you, I hope that your ears are open. I hope that you're paying close attention. Now, let me tell you, do you know that Billy Graham said, this is Billy Graham. I know a lot of people that highly respect him and his opinion, even though he's with the Lord now. He said that someone asked him, how many people that go to church do you think are actually born again? Do you know what Billy Graham's number was? About 10%. 10%. And you're like, whoa, how... And I know that probably grouped in that would be some churches who do not preach the truth of God's word and how to be saved. But I believe it's possible because the Bible talks about wheat and tares. You know, the real stuff, wheat, and the fake stuff, tares. And it talks about even in the church, in the context of the church. Now, if you're here today and you say, well, I've been going to church my whole life. Or you know what, I've I've been an officer even in the church, and I've been a part of this church, and I'm a member. It doesn't matter. Membership is not going to get you into heaven. Neither is your service as whatever position you're in. The only thing that gets you to heaven is by putting your faith and trust in what Jesus did for you. But then again, a lot of people have been slipped a counterfeit, and they maybe made a decision out of emotion, or maybe some preacher kind of put the pressure on, and they're sitting here today. And I find this out when I talk to people sometimes, even people that are in the church that I pastored through the years, and I talk to them, and their testimony is really, really weak. It's like, when did you trust Jesus? Oh, I don't know. Sometime back there. I think I did. Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, they're like really, really weak. And you may be sitting here today and you cannot remember when you trusted Jesus. And you're not sure that you'd go to heaven. This message is for you. I want you to listen really, really close. Because I believe that when Jesus came, he came to this world for the lost. And that included you, and that included me. Now, some of us have acted on that, and we've trusted the Lord. I can tell you, I'm not cocky in the statement that I'm going to make, but I know that when I breathe my last, based according to God's perfect word, that I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus. And I'm telling you, you can know the same thing. We're going to be looking at several passages today, but Jesus came for the lost. Point number one, if you're taking notes, Jesus came to seek the lost. Jesus came to seek the lost. In Luke chapter 19, I'm going to turn to some of these in my Bible. I like looking at it in my Bible even more so than looking up at the monitor, but if you have your Bible, fine. If you're not, look at the monitor. Point number one, Jesus came to seek the lost. Listen to this verse in God's holy book. These words are actually the words of Jesus himself. It says, "And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house." Now, this is when Zacchaeus got saved. Remember the little short guy that climbed a tree so he could see Jesus? He did that, and Jesus walked by and said, "Today I'm going to have lunch with you. I'm going to have a meal with you." And Zacchaeus shows signs of really trusting who Jesus was, the Messiah, all right? Jesus said, "Today is salvation come to this house, come to your soul, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham." So he described who he was. He had trusted who Jesus was. Now notice this, what it says. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Aren't you thankful for that? You know, he could have had a lot of the ulterior motives in coming, couldn't he? Now, he's God himself in the flesh, so he does not sin. But do you think it's possible that he could have come with some ulterior motive? But Jesus came for us. Jesus, now we don't have Connie, so we've lost one of our primary ameners. Does anybody want to take her place today? And my voice sounds like it's changing up here. I'm going to take her place today. I don't know where that come from. But I'm thankful that Jesus came to seek the lost. Seek the lost. So if you're here today and you're not saved, you're not truly born again, can I tell you that Jesus is seeking after you right now? Now we're going to talk a little bit more about this in a moment. But the Holy Spirit is after your hide, so to speak. The Holy Spirit. His desire is for every man to be saved. To every man and woman and child and teenager to truly be saved. To give their heart and life to Jesus. To trust in who he was. You see, Jesus wants to spend eternity with us. And when Jesus came, from his own words, he said, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." You know, I have on my phone an app. It's called Find My iPhone. And mine's not, honestly, I could lose my iPhone pretty easy. easily because my Find My iPhone app is not working on my phone. Then hers isn't working. So we can lose her phone really easy too. So we got to wait till our tech guru, Ryan, comes back in probably and say, how do you get that thing activated? But generally speaking, the way it's supposed to work, you hit that Find My iPhone and it gives you people that you have in your phone. Now I have Jason and Ryan, and I can just click. It says that Jason is in North Carolina. Ryan is in Ruther Glen, Virginia. That's the church he's at today. And I could click and even get more specific. But I'm seeking locations, right? Using my phone. I'm thankful that when Jesus came, he came to seek the lost. That means a lot to us, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't that encourage our heart? Now, the God of the universe could have been totally distant and said, hey, you guys are on your own. You're going to die in your sin and that's it? Or you're going to spend eternity in a godless hell in a place prepared for the devil and his demons? But he loved us so much, Jesus says, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. So number one, Jesus came to seek the lost. Point number two, Jesus came to save the lost. In that same verse, he says that for the Son of Man has come to seek. So you say, how does he seek after us? In a lot of different ways, right? Circumstances in life, people around you that may know Jesus. How did you trust the Lord as Savior? Probably someone told you about Jesus. Maybe there was a good example, but Jesus is seeking our soul to be saved. Secondly, Jesus came to save the lost. You know, in Mark chapter 2, I want you to look at this passage of Scripture. In Mark chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, we're talking about Jesus came for the lost. Number one, Jesus came to seek the lost. Number two, and the point whereon Jesus came to save the lost. In Mark chapter 2, look at verse 16. Now it says, during the earthly ministry of Jesus, he spent a lot of time with sinners, right? Why did he do that? Because he was seeking after their soul, so that they would trust him as Messiah, so that he could save them. Notice what it says. It says, and when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? You see, they were criticizing. Publicans were tax collectors, and they were traitors in the eyes of the Jews because they were collecting taxes for the Roman government. And clearly they say, sinners, how is it that he eateth and even drinketh with these tax collectors and sinners? Listen to what Jesus said. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I'm thankful that Jesus came to save the lost. It says, but sinners to repentance. And you know what I was before I trusted Jesus as my Savior? I was an old, rotten sinner. I was a lost sinner on my way to separation from God forever and ever in a place called hell, a place of torment. But Jesus came to save me. Wow. That ought to encourage our hearts to have a God and a Savior like Jesus. Now, was Jesus' life and ministry easy? Wow. Don't know quite where that came from, but if you were asleep, you're now awake. If I ever does that again, I ought to kid you and go, and fall over. People would say, there goes the preacher. He's done kicked the bucket. I'd hope not too many people would cheer, but but I'm thankful that Jesus loved me so much that he said, you know what? I'm sending my son Jesus, who had a difficult time in life. I mean, you think about it. There were people all around him opposed to him. There were people that wanted him to fail just so they could say, aha, 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 I was right. Now, how would that feel? How would that feel? To be Jesus, the Son of God, and know everything, and be the God of the universe, and be the one that even created these people, and these people kept trying again and again to trap him. And they couldn't do it because he was Jesus, the Son of God. But I mean, just think about all the things he went through. And then the cross, the cruel death of the cross. And that death and that placement in the tomb. He did all of that because he loved us and he wanted to save us. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission or covering for sin. That's the way God ordained it. And with the perfect, precious blood of Jesus, that is our covering. That is the remission of our sins when we put our faith and trust in what he did for us. I'm thankful, aren't you? I'm thankful that God loved me so much. He sent Jesus. And I'm thankful that Jesus came. He did not rebel against the will of the Father. He said, I will willingly go. But you say, save the lost. Save the lost from what? What are we saved from? We use that term. The Bible uses it a lot, being saved. But what are we saved from? We're saved from our sin and the consequences of our sin. We're saved from death, right? You know, a Christian isn't really going to die. All right? And I've told you before, I don't really use the term. Some people use the terms passed away. So-and-so passed away. That's really not right terminology. And I've used it before, so I'm not being overly critical. But just think about it. Passed away. It's like, poof, they're gone. No more. No. I use the word pass because that's really what a Christian does, right? He passes from this world to the next world. You see, and Jesus came to save the lost. Part of what he saved us from, sin and the consequences of our sin. He saved us from death, and he saved us from hell. I'm thankful for that. Are you? Jesus came for the lost. Jesus came to seek the lost. Jesus came to save the lost. I would estimate that I was probably about 8 years old. I was at a swimming hole that was just like a creek or that was kind of dammed up a little bit called Kettle Bottom. Now, I'm not sure if I ever touched the bottom, so I can't prove it, but they called it Kettle Bottom, I guess, meaning that it was kind of like the bottom of a pot. So I was about 8. I'd say my sister was probably about 14, and I was out there on a raft. I mean, I was doing good. Everything good. Yep. Having fun. Yep. I couldn't swim at the time, and in the middle of Kettle Bottom, which wasn't huge, but I fell off that raft. And I didn't scream, I didn't yell, maybe I should have, but I was just trying to get that raft back real quick. You know, I was just like flailing in the water, and guess what? She may have regretted this later, but my sister jumped in and saved me. And you know, I'm like, whoa, you know, I may have been a goner if my sister hadn't jumped in and saved me. Do you know what? Every one of us as sinners would have been goners. If Jesus, if you will, hadn't jumped into this world and said, you know what? I'm going to take on flesh. I'm going to be the God-man. I'm going to be 100% God and 100% man, and I'm going to pay the ultimate sacrifice for the world. We'd have been goners. I'm thankful that Jesus came to save the lost. Jesus came for the lost. Number one, Jesus came to seek the lost. Number two, Jesus came to save the lost. Number three, Jesus came to speak to the lost. To speak to the lost. Now, in Matthew 11:19, if you want to turn there, Matthew 11:19. We're on point number three. Jesus came to speak to the lost. Matthew 11:19. Notice what it says of Jesus. Now, this was intended to be a criticism of Jesus, all right? Because if you don't agree with someone, the way to get at them is to criticize them, right? At least that's what the people thought in Jesus' day as well. And these religious leaders, notice what Jesus says in verse 19. This is an accusation. In verse 18, let me read that. So for John, that'd be John the Baptist, came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath the devil. The Son of Man, this is their accusation, came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. You say, what exactly? They're trying to criticize him and say, you know what? You spend an awful lot of time with publicans and sinners. Guess what? You do so much. You're a glutton. You have meals with them all the time. And you're a winebibber. You're addicted to wine. I mean, they're criticizing Jesus. But you know Jesus' mission? He spent a lot of time with old, rotten sinners, speaking to them, teaching them who he was and what they needed to do. So that was the time back when Jesus had his earthly ministry. But what about today? Does the Lord speak to the lost today? If you look at John chapter 16, verse 8. John chapter 16 and verse 8. I want you to listen to this verse. Now, this is in the form of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not here in the flesh, but you know what? The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Y'all with me on that? So what is the role of the Holy Spirit? John chapter 16, verse 8. John chapter 16 and verse 8. Jesus talking to his disciples, the upper room discourse just before he goes to the cross. And he says in verse 8, and when he, that's the Holy Spirit, is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You see, that word reprove could also be like convict the world of sin. So Jesus came to speak to the lost. When he went around, he talked to lepers. He talked to prostitutes. He talked to people that were down and out, the publicans. He talked to people and tried to convince them that he was the Messiah. But what about today? How does God speak to us through the Holy Spirit? And if you're here and you're lost, you say, well, man, there's just an urge inside of me, and it keeps prompting me, and I keep remembering that I need to be saved, and there's something that wants to... That's the Holy Spirit. It's the conviction, the reproving, the convincing, as that verse says, of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus, if you will, speaks to us today through the Holy Spirit. And when we're lost, he says, something's not right. You need to get saved. You know, I really believe, I've heard it said many times, that in man is a void in the heart of man. And I believe this. And in that void, the only thing that will fit that void in particular is by trusting the Lord as your Savior. And that Holy Spirit, we call it the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And that's when preachers preach. I mean, some might be here today and you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable. You're like, I wish he'd preached on something else. I wish he'd have preached on Jonah and the whale, or I wish he'd have preached on Daniel and something he did, or maybe even Peter and when he went tried to walk on the... But he's preaching about salvation. And if you're a little bit uncomfortable right now, possibility that it could be the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because he speaks to our heart. And I remember when I was lost. I was saved when I was 11 years old. I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. But I remember before that, when the invitation would come up, especially the week before, I wanted to go. I wanted to respond to the message and get saved. And I holding on to the seats. I mean, sometimes we preachers, we're up here, we can tell a lot about what's going on. Really, we can. I mean, I'm not saying it's a gift from God, but you'd be amazed what you can learn by looking in your eyes. And sometimes we sing a song of invitation, and I look back and I just know that they're under conviction. And if it's not conviction, at least the chastening for a Christian. And they're doing all they can to either ignore it or hold on to that seat. You know, they get cramps in their hands because they're holding on to the seat so tight and I'm not moving. But you feel something prompting you and moving you. I'm thankful that Jesus, in his earthly ministry, spoke to people about who he was. He taught them about who he was. He showed them who he was. And I'm thankful that today, Jesus speaks to our hearts. If we're saved, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us and says, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that wasn't so good. You know, I'm gonna let you know that wasn't right, and you need to turn around and do right and apologize for that or whatever. But Jesus does speak to us today through his Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad about that? And, you know, I've heard it said, you know, if you're sensing the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart that you need to be saved or you need to get right with God, don't mess with God. Don't play with God. Don't toy with God. One advice I can give you today, you will lose that battle. You will lose that battle. I think a Christian who's rebelling against God is fighting against the direction of the Holy Spirit. If they're truly born again, the Holy Spirit is saying, hey! Straighten up, fly right, do what's... Nope, not going to do it, not going to do it, not going to do it. Let me tell you, God can take you home early because he's that kind of God. He's all-powerful, right? Not because he's a mean God, because you're not being a good witness for what a child of God should be. And even if you're here today and you're lost, you say, oh, yeah, I felt that when I was a kid. Yeah, I feel it every once in a while. Let me tell you, you know what I believe happens? When you're young, you know, most people get saved. I mean, it's phenomenal statistics. It's like 80-some percent of people get saved before they're like 19. Of the people that get saved, like 80% are saved young. You know what I think happens? You know, the first time you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, you're old enough to understand, and the preacher is preaching and sharing verses about being saved, and they're like, yeah, I need to do it. You hear that Holy Spirit and it's shouting at you saying, be saved, go forward. And you know, if we say no, I think the next time we hear the Holy Spirit, the volume is turned down just a little bit. And he's still shouting. He's like, you need to be saved. Nope. It goes down. And then the next time, and the next time. And I believe it gets so low sometimes. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, don't put it off. I've heard of people. I've not encountered them myself, but I've heard of preachers say, I've talked to people, and they want to be saved, but they can't. Now, I don't quite get that, but I think they've said no to God so much that they no longer hear the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their heart. And you can't be saved without the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know where that line is. We just need to keep sharing the gospel as our role. But boy, I tell you what, don't mess with God. You know, you got these commercials messing with Sasquatch. You know, they try to do something to Sasquatch, and Sasquatch always get... Let me tell you, God is a whole lot bigger than Sasquatch. So if you're here today and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven... You know, I have a high recommendation for you. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. You don't know how long you have. You don't know how long you can hear that Holy Spirit shouting at you. But I am thankful. I am thankful that Jesus came for the lost. Jesus came to seek the lost. Jesus came to save the lost. Jesus came to speak through the lost. You know, when I grew up back home, I used to speak to almost everybody I encountered when I walked. You know, if you're on the street somewhere, downtown, hey, whether I knew them or not. And even on the back roads of southern West Virginia, I'd throw up my hand to people. No, it wouldn't do much good to throw up your hand on the interstate. People would think you were crazy, number one, and you might cause a wreck. But on the back roads, and a lot of them are one-lane roads with a berm over here and a berm over here, when you meet a car, you got to get off really quick. And you got two wheels off the road, two wheels off the road, two wheels on the road, two wheels on the road, and you pass like this, or like this, I guess. But I used to speak to people. I used to throw up my hand to people driving vehicles on the road. You know, Jesus did more than that. He did. He spent time with people. He invested into their lives, and we should do the same thing also. Today, Jesus came for the lost. Jesus came to seek the lost. Jesus came to save the lost. And Jesus came to speak to the lost. Let me ask you today, now this is serious. This is serious. Do you realize that a soul could be in the balance right now? So God has reminded me how serious we really need to take our invitations. I mean, I would hate to be the one that kept somebody from responding to the Lord. I would encourage you, if you're here today, do you know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven? Do you know for sure? Are you 100% sure that if you died today, and that's possible, the Lord can come back? Crazy drivers are getting crazier all the time. So I'm not gloom and doom, and I don't play on your emotions, but I'm just telling you the truth. You may not make it home today. Are you ready to stand before God? Are you 100% sure that if you died today, that you'd go to heaven? Well, Jesus came to seek the lost. Jesus came to save the lost. Jesus came to speak to the lost. You say, preacher, you've convinced me that Jesus came to seek and to save. I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit is speaking to my heart. But what do I do? Do you know what you need to do to be saved? I do indeed like, even though it's not spelled out exactly like this in Scripture as far as A, B, C, but as far as an easy way to remember how to be saved, it's called the ABCs of salvation. The ABCs of salvation. A, admit you're a sinner before God. You know, the Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you want to be saved today, you need to recognize you're a sinner. You need to recognize you need to be saved. The B is believe all that Jesus is according to the Bible. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You say, preacher, I'm lost. I'm not sure, or I know that I'm lost, whatever the case may be. You can be saved today. Admit you're a sinner before God in prayer. Believe that Jesus is exactly who the Bible says that he was, the Son of God, born of a virgin in Bethlehem, who lived a perfect life, who died upon the cross to pay for your sins, then resurrected back to life. And then you confess Jesus as your Savior in prayer to God. He is my Savior. He's the one I'm going to follow. Now, before you do this lightly, can I tell you something? This is a commitment. This is a commitment. You know, it's not one of those, well, sure, I'll just go up there and say I did it and there, and everybody make everybody happy. No, I mean, this is serious. Your soul is in the balance. And you've got to mean it from your heart. It has to be a real decision from your heart and your soul. I'd say from every ounce of your being that I want to trust Jesus. I want to be saved. And it's not like, well, I'll be saved and I'll do my own thing. If that's your attitude, you can't be saved. Really. If that's your attitude going into it, I'll just make this little prayer and then I'll do my own thing like I always do. That's not salvation. Salvation, you come to him and say, Lord, here I am. I commit everything to you. Here I am. I won't be perfect, but I sure will be faithful. I admit that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus died upon the cross as the Son of God to pay for my sin and then conquered death. I confess Jesus in prayer to God. He is my Savior. He is my leader. He is the one that I will follow for the rest of my life. If you would bow your head and close your eyes. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you mind standing to your feet, please? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me ask you a question. As I called the message from the beginning, just my terminology, this was a pure salvation message. One of two or three parts more we're going to talk about being saved. But let me ask you. Let me ask you the question. Are you 100% sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven? I want to make it very clear. If you are sure that you are saved, if you are sure that if you died, breathed your last, even today, that you'd go to heaven, 100% sure. If that's you, would you raise your right hand up real high? Raise your hand up real high. Say, that's me. Hold it there. Just hold it there. Raise your hand up real high. I'm sure. I know that I've trusted Jesus. I know that I'm saved. All right, thank you. You can put them down. Let me ask you, if you couldn't raise your hand, do you want to be able to raise your hand? Do you want to go home today and even leave this building saying, you know what? I know that I'm saved. And I know that if I leave this world at any time, I'm on my way to heaven. Can I encourage you? Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If that's you and you say, you know what? I want to be saved. I'm ready to pray to God and mean it from my heart. I'm ready to admit I'm a sinner. I'm ready to believe and tell God that I believe everything the Bible says about Jesus. And I'm ready to confess Jesus as my Savior, my leader, the one that I'm going to follow. Can I tell you that there's no better place than right here to be saved? And can I tell you there's no better time than right now to be saved? Can I tell you that if the Holy Spirit's after you, your heart's probably beating a little fast right now. You're a little bit uncomfortable because God is speaking to your heart. And can I tell you, just as sure as I am of that, if the Holy Spirit's working on you, the devil's saying, no, not today. No, put it off. Maybe next week, or maybe even next month. Let me think about it a bit, just down the road a little bit. Can I tell you? And I mean this with every ounce of my being. I believe that in hell there's numerous millions, billions in hell that heard a clear presentation of the gospel and had that opportunity to be saved, but they say, no, not today. Not today. Maybe later. And you know how time is, don't you? It just goes quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. I'd encourage you, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if God is speaking to your heart about being saved today, you couldn't raise your hand that you're sure that you are saved. And you, but you say, I want to be saved today. Would you step out of your seat, come up to this preacher, and say, I want to be saved, and I'll talk to you, I'll show you scripture, I'll try to answer any questions you might have. Anyone today, just between you and God, just between you and God. You say, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be too concerned about this salvation thing if it was my opinion on how to be saved, but it's God's Word. It tells us how to be saved. Will you be saved today? Will you trust Jesus as your Savior? What's holding you back? Let me tell you, if you breathe your last, your eternal home without Jesus will be in a place called hell. Anyone have the boldness to step out and say, I want to be saved? I couldn't raise my hand, but from now on, I want to raise my hand because I want to trust Jesus. Anyone today? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Bible and the clarity of your word. Lord, I pray that for the folks that may be here today who have never trusted Jesus, they couldn't raise their hand that they're 100% sure. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to work on them with your Holy Spirit. I pray that there'll come a time real soon that they'll say, Preacher, I want to be saved. Lord, I pray that you'll again continue to convict hearts. Lord, for those of us who know we are saved, not because we're good or not because of anything we've done, but just simply because we've put our faith and trust in Jesus, I just praise you and thank you for that security and that peace and that joy and that purpose and that future that you've given to us. Lord, may we leave here today saying, you know what? I am blessed. I am blessed to know Jesus as my Savior. Lord, we again praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.